looked at the speaker, his eyes widening a little.
Well, I should have guessed. Been picking up tracks of three men for days now, crossing and recrossing them. Three men, one with a limp. Andy, Clint No Teeth, and Al, the King of the Knives.
We was only intent on moving out through the high pass before the serious snows came, Captain.
Sure. Just happened to take a goat on the Baron's land 5 days ago, then gut shot an elk a day later. Never even finished it off, did you, boys? Let the poor animal drag her guts through the brush. Got a mind to do exactly the same with you three. Open you up and pull out a loop of your belly, tether you by it, and walk away.
You wouldn't do that, would you, Cap?
More to the point is who you seven are and what you're doing with poaching meat thieves like these three.
We're not.
I'd like to know some names before we go one freezing breath further with this talk.
I'm Ryan Carter. My friends are Christy Roth, Mildred Wyeth, Doc Tanner, J.B. Dix, Michael Brother, and the boy's my son, Dean. Come from the south to do some trading, hunt. Hire out our blasters now and again. But we don't steal, and we don't go across barrens.
Could be they're hired chillers. Maybe like the ones they said went to Vista.
Shut it. Shut it now. Keep it shut. Maybe he's got something. There's been trouble at the Ville. Serious trouble.
What kind? Hired guns? Bands of roving wolf's head outlaws?
Something like that. Best you hear about it from Baron Nelson. I reckon he'll be real interested in you. Some of you.
Ryan had been taking note of the patrolmen watching them, hoping to see a casual lack of attention that would offer a chance of getting back their weapons and taking out the patrol. But he was disappointed. The men were alert, cold-eyed, and careful.
If you want these outlanders, Mr. Coburn, then maybe you could just let us go. Baron won't be wanting us, not when he sees this lot. What do you say, Mr. Coburn?
I say you lose your life, you poaching son of a bitch. Men, put them away.
All of them, sir?
No, you dumb fuck. Think I'd be wasting my breath on talking if we were going to whack them all?
Those three?
Yes. Those three.
So difficult to find decent staff these days, wouldn't you say, Mildred?
You want to have us close your eyes and your mouth, Doc, then just keep on cracking wise like that.
Cracking wise? You get a hold of some old detective novels, Coburn?
Yeah. You?
Sure. Chandler, Hammett, Harvey, and Leonard and Hillerman. I love them.
Chandler? Is he the Philip Marlowe guy?
Yeah, that's the guy.
Coburn had been distracted from his flash of anger against Doc, and he turned to his second in command.
Do them. Leave the dead meat by the body of Big Bob. Sort of visible lesson for anyone who comes out this way.
Wolves will get him first, sir.
Yeah.
As executions went, Ryan had to give Coburn and his men at least an 8 from 10. While most of the patrol kept watch over the seven companions, four of the others took care of the business at hand. They arranged Byrne, Kale, and Vare into a ragged line, facing the huge steaming corpse of the giant Muti Grizzly. Once they'd heard the casual sentence of death, the trio of hunters seemed to lose their spirit. Al Vare had fallen to his knees, his hands clasped together, starting to patter a long, barely audible prayer, sounding as if he were trying to admit all of his sins before being propelled in front of the pearly gates. Clint Kyle's head slumped. He'd beckoned to Ryan, who'd been given the nod from Coburn, to go and stand by him.
Now you might walk from this, mister.
Who knows? What did you want?
Got a daughter and a wife. Well, last I heard, I did. Little girl's name's Paula. Lives out east. Calls herself a New Yorker, but she got a place about 50 miles west of there. Haven't seen much of her. Truth is, the name of Clint don't ring bells in her heart.
Wrap it up!
It's, just if you ever get out that way, tell her that her daddy went to rest in the arms of Jesus with her name on his lips and her face locked in his heart forever.
Sure.
You'll remember now?
Of course.
What did he say, lover?
Nothing.
Nothing?
Empty words. Not worth the trouble of remembering. Andy Byrne had limped away and leaned his hand against the ice-slick bole of a tall ponderosa pine.
Hey, anyone got any jolt?
I got some, sir.
No, don't waste it on a dead man.
Get to it, then. Time's passing, and I'm feeling the cold in this here leg.
Michael Brothers stepped forward, drawing several M16 muzzles toward him.
I don't think it's right for you to execute these men without any sort of a trial.
That right, son? If it is son, wearing a big girl's dress like that.
Just for taking game from the forest?
Forests around here belong to Baron Alfred Nelson, son.
No man should control or own or use the earth for private gain.
Coburn smiled and stepped in close. Ryan guessed what was about to happen, and struggled against himself to avoid interfering.
You got a swift mouth, son.
The right fist of the senior sec man jabbed into Michael's stomach, a savage blow that would have doubled him over, but it never landed. There was a flicker of movement, so lightning fast that it brought a gasp of amazement from the watching guards, and the teenager was gripping Coburn's right fist in his own right hand.
No! No problem, guys. You got faster reflexes than a striking rapper, son.
I work at it.
By God, but I bet you do. You got any other surprises up your sleeve, Carter? I guess you won't answer that anyway.
I still tell you that you have no real right before God to murder these men.
Let it lie, Michael. There's no point in this. You made your protest, but it won't change a damn thing here.
That's right. Got some sense for a one-eyed man.
Can we get this fucking done?
Sure. Do them.
A single round for each man was all it took. Al Vayer pitched forward as though a mule had kicked him in the head. He took two staggering steps, then slumped on the ground, his arms and legs spread wide like a dying starfish. The second bullet from the sec man's blaster was fired at point-blank range at Clint Kyle. He was half-turning as the gun went off, and the 9mm slug hit a little to the right of his nape. Kyle went down in a heap, his right arm clawing at the frozen earth, his fingernails snapping. The patrolman took a step to one side, bringing his rifle to his shoulder, ready to take out the last of the three hunters.
I hope you bastards all rot in hell.
That's it. So perish all who steal from the Baron Nelson.
Words don't make it right, son. They never have, and they never will.
Guess that's true enough, old-timer. But they're the ones who are down and done.
Now what?
Now we go to meet the Baron.
The patrol, with their seven prisoners, reached their home turf in a little over 2 hours. Rick Coburn was a careful man, and he sent a couple of his men out in front, on their skis, breaking trail and keeping a watch out. Then came Ryan and his companions, with the rest of the patrolmen bringing up the rear. With no blasters, and on foot, against swift experts on skis, they had no hope of escape. Ryan took the opportunity to walk a ways with each of the others, talking quietly to them about what to do, and what not to do.
Keep quiet and easy. No way of breaking away right now. Don't figure we face too bad a time. Been dead in the snow with the other three if we had. We'll meet this Baron and listen. Think with our ears, not our mouths. I mean it, Dean. We watch and wait.
After that, Ryan drifted toward the rear of the party until he was close to the leader of the sec men. Ryan considered Rick Coburn an impressive officer and wanted to try to find a little more from him about where they were going and what they might expect there.
Is it much farther?
About a quarter hour.
Is that it up there?
Ryan pointed ahead of them at a great spur of rock that jutted from the flank of the snow-layered mountain.
Yep.
A few yards more. It was laborious going, and everyone's breath hung around them like fog.
Coburn, what's going on with this Baron?
How's that, Carter?
You don't strike me as a stupid man, Coburn. Most sec bosses get where they are by not being stupid. You know what I mean.
I know.
And?
And knowing's not the same as telling, Outlander. You understand that.
I have a responsibility for everyone in my group. A kid, a teenager, two women, and an old man.
And two of the meanest cold heart bastards I ever saw. You and the little guy with the glasses, Carter. Don't play the hearts and flowers with me. Won't bring the waterworks to my eyes.
Ryan smiled. Despite his position, he found himself liking Coburn. The executions hadn't bothered him at all. Byrne, Kyle, and Vire knew the game they were playing, knew the risks of losing.
You could still tell me what's been going down with the Baron, and why it might affect us.
Baron Nelson's not what you'd exactly call a forgiving man.
Never met a Baron who was strong on forgiveness.
Bet your ass on that. Triple Ace on the line, Outlander.
Ryan picked his way forward again to walk with Christy.
He tell you anything, lover?
He's not giving up much.
Says something about this barren...